welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
That was beautiful. Amen. That kind of music definitely prepares my heart to hear God's word. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. If you want to turn to the book of Philippians, we're going to look at that briefly and hear what God has to say through the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi. It's an incredible words written to a specific audience 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. Are still so applicable and rich for the people of God today. In a completely different context, that's how good our God is, that He can speak across generations and cultures. We're in Philippians. We're finishing up the first chapter tonight, and we'll be moving on to chapter 2 next week. And so tonight I want to talk about what it means to be gospel people. And that's a term I just made it up just a second ago. So you're like, I've never heard that. Well, yeah, this is the first time. But maybe you can conceptualize something of what I mean by that. Gospel people. Because I believe that it is one thing to just be a recipient of the gospel. To be somebody that is blessed by the work of Christ on the cross. It is one thing to be the recipient of the gospel, and it is another thing entirely to be somebody who radiates that gospel out of you then and let it shape the entirety of your life. That's something entirely different. And I pray that we would not just stop and be content with just being gospel recipients. And I don't want to, for a second, diminish what that means. It is a blessed thing, it's an amazing thing to be the recipient of the work of Christ on the cross. But would we then, in turn, not just stop there and say, now that I'm a recipient of, let me also be one that radiates that goodness out of me and how I live, the things I do, the things I say, even the way that I think. May it just exude out of me. May people notice me and say, that is a gospel-shaped person, not just a gospel recipient, and that's it. I think that's what Paul wanted for the Philippians. That's what he would have wanted for us. I think ultimately that is what God wants for you, is that He would want you to be a gospel-shaped person. The big question, though, for you is that what you want for you? And that's what I want to think about tonight. Is that what you want for you? Do you want to be a gospel-radiating person? I can tell you, I do. And some days I think are harder for us than others, right? To really radiate the gospel in our conversations, in our interactions, in our mood. But man, I want to be a gospel-radiating person. And if that's the case for you, if you want to be a gospel-shaped person and how you live, maybe you would be able to pray this kind of prayer. I read it in my prayer book, The Valley of Vision, some time ago, and I bookmarked it. It's a powerful prayer. I don't think I have it on the screens. Let me just read it to you. And maybe this is something that your heart could resonate with, and you'd say, yeah, that's something I would want to pray. I think it's powerful. This is what the prayer says. Oh Lord, may the things that I say and the things that I do draw others to a higher walk of faith and love. Cause me, God, to be a mirror of your grace and to show others the joy of your service. Teach me the happy art of tending to temporary things with a mind fixed on eternal things. I think that really captures what I mean by being a gospel people. Not just gospel recipient, certainly that, but gospel-shaped people. That it just comes out of us and people notice it. So how do we do that? Well, I think that's where Paul, the end of Philippians 1, really helps us. I want to read through it as we go this evening. He gives an initial command. We're going to be starting in verse 27. If you have it there, it'll also be on the screens. He gives an initial command, a lofty one, a difficult one. He says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." And I just want to stop there for a second. Let's not minimize what Paul is asking here. Isn't that an incredible command? Let your life be worthy of the gospel. That, at first thought at least, is just so out of reach. There's no way I could be. And you're right, we never could live a life worthy of the gospel. I don't think Paul means to just live a perfect life where God would say, "Oh, you earned it. You earned the cross." No, that's not what he means. I think instead, Paul has in mind here that we should live a life that is in step with and in sync with the gospel. What Christ did for you and I, we now live a life that is noticeably on track with and shares characteristics of the work of Christ. Sacrificial, caring for other people, providing for other people, loving other people. He says, let your life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Really be a gospel-shaped person. That's what I think he means by that. Be a gospel people. And still, you and I could say, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. Well, I think Paul, he helps us here. Because if you continue on in verse 27, he kind of says, well, I'll show you what it's going to look like. He says, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear that you are. And so what he's about to say next, the next few phrases and sentences are his way of saying these are the things that happen when you live a life worthy of the gospel. I'll give you a few physical tell signs that you should be showing if you are living a gospel life. It says, let your life be worthy of the gospel so that when I come, I will see it, or if I don't, I'll hear that you are doing these things. These are the physical tell signs of being gospel people. So what is it? Well, firstly, he finishes the rest of the verse there, 27, by talking something about us being unified as one people. He says, if I'm absent, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. So, Paul is teaching us here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, look, if you guys want to live a life that's really gospel-shaped, that's really just exuding out gospel, and people are like, man, that person is impacted by the gospel. Well, then I should be hearing, and I should be able to see noticeably that you guys are really unified. That should be one tell sign that you are gospel people, that you're unified. And so that means a couple things. If we're going to be unified by one spirit, thinking with one mind, striving side by side, linked arms, it means a couple things. Firstly, this means that you need to be unified with anyone who believes the things that make you a Christian, right? Get down to the very basics, the foundational elements of the necessities, the core doctrines. If somebody affirms those, they're a Christian, we need to be unified with them. So what are those things? Well, firstly, that we need a Savior, right? That person needs to affirm that they are in sin, right? If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and he will forgive us for sins, right? So we have to acknowledge that we are sinful and in need of a Savior. And if that's the case, that is a good start. But not only do they need to recognize that they need a Savior, but then also someone, if they're going to believe the core doctrines of faith, need to know something of Christ, right? Firstly, that I think he is divine. Also believing in his humanity. Believing in his death for the atonement of sins. Believing in his resurrection. I'm not just making these up like, oh, these are Isaac's favorites. No. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So there's something there of lordship and divinity and raising from the dead. That's the death and the resurrection, death for sins, resurrection of new life, humanity elements. I'm not just making these things up. These are things that we have to believe and know to make us a Christian. And also, we have to know something of salvation, right? That it's by faith, not by works. That's by grace, not earned, right? It's Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not a work of your own. It's a gift from God. So these are things that we have to believe if you want to be a Christian. And now if you believe those things, and probably a few other things, I'm just rattling off some. If you believe these things, these core elements, then look, we are to be unified if we're going to be gospel people, right? You have to be unified with those that believe the core doctrines of faith. That also means then that if you disagree with somebody on those secondary issues, you still need to be unified with them. I have a long list of them. I won't list them all. But that means if they believe those things, but they disagree with you on what the end times will look like, you're still linking arms with them. Does prophecy take place today? You're still linking arms with them. Did tongues happen today? Speaking in tongues. Should women be pastors? There's people on opposite sides of the spectrum when it comes to this. And you can disagree with them. But do they believe the core doctrines of faith? Well, then we are linking arms with them. Is war acceptable? Or is pacifism right? Linking arms with people that have the core doctrines right. Is church discipline effective? What does that look like? Who should lead the church? Elders, deacons, pastors? Is Calvinism right? Arminianism? Predestination? Free will? Traditional music? Contemporary music? We can go on and on and on and on. Do you have the core doctrines? Paul says, if you have the core doctrines, and if you're gospel-shaped people, you're going to be linked arms. Standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side. And letting the secondary issues be secondary issues. That is a sign of gospel people. The second thing, the last one, is being resilient when naysayers will pop up, and they will. Naysayers, when they pop up, dissenting voices that criticize. Let me read verse 28. He says, I will notice when I come, or if I'm absent, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit. And then verse 28, not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction and of your salvation and that from God. You know, we're often tempted to cave to naysayers, right? Think about it. How many churches caved and quit having church because naysayers? Not because theology, and if it's because theology, that's one thing, but just because they started hearing a lot of pressure from people, right? Still not open today, many of them. We're caving to naysayers, and that's why so many churches have stopped speaking on very difficult, hot-button moral issues. Why? Because naysayers come, dissenting voices. And they're frightened by these opponents, aren't they? But Paul says if you're going to be a gospel-shaped person, you're going to be unified with one another, and not frightened by dissenting voices. And when you do that, that's actually witnessing to them. When you stand firm in your convictions, that's actually witnessing to that person. It shows them there's something special about you that makes you different from them. Something you're willing to die for. And that's unique. So Paul says it's a sign to them of their destruction, but for your salvation, there's something very different about you. So how will we do these things? How will we be unified with people we disagree with? How many of you guys know that's hard? That's hard, right? Come on. You're the only honest person in the room, Stephen. Thank you for that. It's hard. It's hard because we have so many disagreements, don't we? We have so many things where we feel so passionate about, feel so strongly about, and we just know that we know that we know that we know that that person's wrong. But do they believe the core doctrines of faith that make them a Christian? Then to be a gospel person is to stand side by side with them with one mind. So that's really hard to do. And then to be resilient to dissenting voices, that's really hard. So how will we do this? I want to wrap up with this. Verse 29. It has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaging in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I have. Do you see how we will be able to be unified with those we disagree with or stand firm against the naysayers? It's by the power of God that he grants to us. He will grant you not only the faith you believe, he does, by the way. He grants you faith. If you believe, that is him granting it to you. But not only does he grant you faith, but he will grant you the ability to endure and suffer for his sake. What Paul is saying here, these things that make you gospel people, he's going to give you what it takes to be able to endure that. He's going to give you what it takes to endure that, to be those gospel-shaped people. So, I want to close up. As you think about your life, let us not just be content with stopping at being gospel beneficiaries. Certainly, let's do that and let's worship every Sunday, every day of our life for that reason, that we are beneficiaries of a great gospel. That's good, isn't it? But let's also strive to be gospel demonstrators, if that's a word. Yes, gospel beneficiaries, but then also turning and letting that seep out of how we live by loving the church, loving those we disagree with, enduring criticism. And in doing that, people will say, man, there's something special about these people. They're a whole nother breed. Yeah, we're gospel people. It's hard to do, but let's strive to do it. Amen? Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for tonight. And I just pray now, Lord. I pray, God, that you would help us to be gospel people, people that live our lives worthy of the gospel, so that those who would see us and even those that would hear of us, they would hear that we are standing firm with one another. And not only standing firm with one another of one mind, but also not being frightened by opponents when they arise. God, may you grant us not only faith, but the ability to endure such difficulties. Just like Paul, how he was able to do that, Lord, may you grant us the strength to endure that, to be people that are noticeably different, gospel people. Help us, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.